Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was head or tail.
Lemon face. Ooh,
all right. California raisins.
For real. It's because it's racist, homie.
They're too black.
What?
They were. The raisins were like basically supposed to be the Temptations. What? But like.
What?
Yeah.
Just kidding. Oh. No,
Rhett's like, they were supposed to be the Temptations?
Like, I think you're racist, bro.
Temptations,
I didn't see that.
Four Tops.
Why would you get that
any
from
one
the
of those Motown bands?
Why would you get that from the Crows at the end of Dumbo, dude?
Shit, dude.
Zippity doodah, dude. That's a wholesome story. Dude, what, you're trying to say the guy who sings Zippity doodah was supposed to be black? He was black. You're trying to say he was black?
Have you ever seen black. Song of the South?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That shit's hella racist. I got that on DVD.
Well, you got it on DVD?
Hell yeah.
It's Song of the South.
I think it was bootleg.
It could. Still. How could it not be racist? I mean, that's, you know?
If this, nah, because there's like Alabama Song of the South. Sweet potato pie and a shut my mouth. That's a good song.
That's racist, too.
Gone.
That's
gone
systemic racism.
Rain. Fuck no. White people can live in the South.
No, they can't.
They lived there before the black people did. White people were in the South before slavery.
Nah, I think white people should just
wear the reason.
You just say that.
But there were some
Mexican
people in the South before white people, though.
Yeah, but we sent them over to Mexico.
Who's we? Who's this we?
The collective we.
No.
The royal.
No,
we.
There is no we like that anymore. Nope. That was nope.
It's the United States of we.
Fuck. Nope. 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 Dude, not on board. not gonna
even
do it.
Even in joke form, he's like, nah.
Not gonna do it. That's hello, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 272. This is Jorge.
Greetings, fellow kids. This is Matt.
Greetings. This is White Guilt. Wait, this is Rhett.
It can be both.
It could be both.
My name's Rhett. Fucking Christ.
That's white as fuck.
No, it's from Gone with the Wind.
Rhett Christ.
It's what? It's from Gone with the Wind.
Oh, so you're anti-Semitic?
What? What? No.
Isn't that hella anti-Semitic? What is, why is Gone with the Wind?
Gone with the Wind.
I haven't seen that.
It's from the South.
Sound of Music. That's the one that got in trouble, right?
It's from the South. Hence the irony of you saying this. My whole mom's side of the family is from the South.
Which one? No. Is
that Gone with the Wind was just taken off of Disney's like streaming services.
Oh, yeah. See?
Because of the racism.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how you been?
Which Rhett Butler does not exhibit in the film, by the way.
Now you're just Rhett Butler?
That's where my name came from.
Oh.
You'd like
I thought you were Rhett Christ.
I am.
What was the actress from Grace Under Fire? Rhett?
Brett Butler.
Butler.
See, her parents were really Southern. They're all, you're a girl? I'll name you Brett Butler. What the fuck?
Hell yeah.
Oh, shit.
God, I wish you had a dick. Wish you just had a little dick, girl.
I mean, she does. That's what clits are, little penises.
Well, that's true.
Or maybe penises are
big
clits.
Clits.
I don't know.
I'm going to go with the big clit.
You know, it's half glass, half full kind of thing. Is your clit enlarged?
Look,
or is
all
your,
I know is if look, you get that part of the skin on my D, I'm going to come. It's going to come fast.
Which part?
Either.
Just the skin. He's like, just suck on my foreskin for a while.
Good God.
He's like, yeah.
We're
off to a good start.
How you guys been?
Fine. It's been like 3 days.
It's been 3 days.
It's been like less than 72 hours.
Yeah, nothing has fucking changed at all.
You want me to
run down the same shit I did last week?
Yeah, let's hear it.
I don't even remember, but like
you worked out.
Yeah, I worked out.
You ate some
bullshit. I ate a bunch.
Yeah.
I had a birthday. Mm-hmm. That was tight. Yeah.
Was your actual birthday tight?
You know what? It's funny because John from Dread Central texts me and he's like, hey, I just want to see what you did for your birthday. I was like, I didn't do a goddamn thing and it was awesome. So, you know, it wasn't like the whole COVID thing where I'm not doing anything because I can't.
It wasn't like the Hulk Hogan thing?
No, it's just like I just don't want to do anything. I'm just going to fucking chill. And I did. And it was tight. Hella tight. Made dinner, went to bed early. You know, just like a 38-year-old sliding into that warm bath called the grave.
Mm-hmm. Just make something up and say like you really went and N-word and meditated. And
I really went N-word.
Did you say
and
N-word?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
I really went N-word. You guys, damn, you guys, stop. No,
we were saying N-word. You were saying N-word.
I was saying Burns.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Why would you hear that?
That's it. I tried to kill Red again this weekend and didn't work. Yeah. It's like a fucking cockroach. Just always surviving.
God.
And yeah,
we worked out again. Good. I tried to kill him the previous week, but this motherfucker
said he killed himself.
Yeah, this motherfucker. True story. Yes, I hate saying that, but I said it. Oh well, it's over. So he has weights. He has the equipment. He's working with this shit, and it shows.
I'm working with my equipment.
He is. He's working with what he got. Right. I'm trying to work with what I got, but as far as weights go, I got less than he does. Right. Straight up, bro.
Straight up.
Bro.
Straight up. Bro.
Bro. And so when I go over there and mess with some real weight, because I'm doing these supersets in the garage with lower weight, like, fuck, it's great, dude. It's great, but I get tore the fuck up.
Hey, there's no shame in your gains, man.
Just kidding. Gaining. Yeah. It's gaining. It's gaining again.
Yeah, Rhett's got the strength, but I got the endurance.
He said that bullshit the
Together,
other day.
We make a whole man.
You are working out with heavy weights 5 days a week.
Yeah.
So, of course, your conditioning is better because you have fucking shit.
And you got better strength even though I got higher weight.
Oh, so you're trying to give me a compliment and I suck at taking it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You threw it back in my face as an insult. Like,
I want to tell you that on the planks, I lasted longer than you.
He might have. I don't know. I wasn't looking. I was watching the clock.
This is just me having you're having a moment. I'm just having a moment.
Yeah, okay.
I'm throwing a mantrum.
Yeah. All right. That's good.
It was good, though.
Matthew, did you watch anything?
What about you? What did you do? Don't follow this format. Tell me what you did.
Oh, God. I almost murdered two children.
Yeah, I want to hear about that.
I went camping.
Did you go glamping?
No, we actually went straight up tent camping. It was great. It was good times. We went to...
you didn't, like, set up electricity and a roof and, like, a TV and build an apartment? Yeah,
we went out to Paso Picacho.
Took a mini projector.
Out there in Julian. It was great. Weather was fantastic. Went to the
generator.
Went to the Green Falls. It was superb.
Why are they the Green Falls?
Fuck, dude, I don't give a fuck.
Was the water green?
Yeah.
Like algae?
Yeah.
He asked you?
Got him! But no, it was a good weekend.
So why did you choose to hang out with kids that weren't yours? That's the question.
Good fucking question.
Dude, that is a good question.
Are you like Pete Townsend or something?
We're doing this thing where we're letting our kids interact with other kids, like specific families. And it's because... these goddamn kids have no interaction with other children.
Oh.
We got to figure something out. So.
If you're so desperate to be gay, you could have just come and worked out with us.
If you're so desperate, why don't you just eat shit?
Yeah.
Jesus
we took
Christ.
Some hella gay pictures.
It was mean-spirited
and
it didn't make sense.
Oh, I know.
We realized we hadn't sent them to you in a long time, so we're like, send them to George.
I was like, well, this is getting muted for the weekend.
That's what I said. I said he muted us for a week before. We were trying to communicate about the podcast, and he's like, I cut you off.
He was so excited to go hang out with his other friends.
I removed
that
he
put
D.
us on mute.
I removed my D from your mouth. That's what I've done.
Damn.
Oh my God.
Damn.
Wait. You went up by Julian.
Yeah, it was good.
That's where.
Hi, Sophia.
We're going. I'm leaving. We're leaving tomorrow night. We're driving up to Julian and going to Borrego Springs area.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a room for a couple days.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to look at these caves with Indian shit in them and fucking get some pies. And and the name of the place is Tucker Peak Lodge.
Oh, I've seen their stuff on the internet.
Tucker, barely knew her.
I love it because it's a peak and a lodge. So it's like the Black Lodge and Twin Peaks and... I can't wait. It's going to be fantastic.
Mm. I'm going to the same area and doing the same thing in a tiny house.
We're being outdoorsy.
Yeah.
Well, why are we all going to the same area? Are we getting drawn there by some kind of
cosmic energy?
You know what it is? It is the endless. That's what it is.
It's
that
the endless.
That Cthulhu cult is drawing us out there, man.
I think that weather is super nice out there. And so, like, it's super attractive to be out in that.
I think I want to just go do drugs away from the city.
There's also that.
There's also that.
Hey, wait, so you went camping with vegans, though?
I did.
What did this mean? What did this look like?
You know, when you go camping, like one of the greatest joys is to wake up and cook up some bacon and eggs.
Up some fucking human beings. cannibalism in the woods.
Cook up some bacon and eggs, and I didn't get that, and I felt slighted.
They're like, let's cook up some tempeh. And
we had, dude, no falafel. Joke. We had fried rice with tofu in it. And I was like,
for breakfast?
For dinner the night before. I mean, breakfast. I had a turkey sandwich because I was so disappointed in.
I would have drowned those fuckers in whatever body of water you were nearby.
Why do you have to eat tofu? It's my protein, but it's like, couldn't you eat like
a dick?
Yeah, couldn't you eat someone's just cock? Eat a
dick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, as long as they're willing, I think that's part of the veganism. As long as the meat is willing, then.
Well, so like, what if a cow like walked into like a slaughter machine? Can the dick give
consent though, or only the mouth?
Mine can. It nods like this.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, but it was fun. It was fun. I'm talking a little bit of shit, but it was fun. It was good times.
They must listen to the show.
No.
Yeah. Wait, what is it? Yeah, why are you?
Like George,
you're tempering your.
Blink once if you're okay, twice if you want me to shoot you in the face. Blink
once if you become vegan.
What other meals did you have camping with vegans?
I just had sandwiches pretty much.
I'm just going to play footsie with George on the table.
Just mainly sandwiches. I survived on fucking sandwiches and.
It's like bread and mustard.
Cider. Hard cider. That's what you. Did you drink any liquor?
You didn't even drink real alcohol.
Did you get like Delta. Pissed drunk out there?
I was pretty good on Saturday.
Good.
I was pretty good.
Fuck, man. Why? If you drink and you're camping, like, hello.
Do they not drink too?
No, they drink. They're.
I was telling Ronnie, like, next time you hang out with that family, like, you should give the kids punch, but just put, like, some beef blood in the red punch.
What?
Just like,
yeah.
Yeah. Mm. That kid wants it.
Yeah. Put some blood in their punch.
I've seen him fucking cranking his eyes at the fucking the meat counter.
Yeah, do you?
I'm cranking his eyes. Yeah, he's like.
I've never heard that expression.
Trying to look at the fucking sausages. I see him.
I seen you.
Lining the wall. There.
Blood sausage.
Yeah.
Have you ever had blood sausage?
No.
I'm sure you have.
I have.
What's it made of?
Blood
sausage.
It's just straight up
it's
blood.
Like, it's like blood and cornmeal and spices, and like the cornmeal kind of gives it the texture. And so, actually, in Ireland and like the UK, they have like black pudding and white pudding, and it's basically like some kind of like sausage. Like that. Oh, the black one is so good though.
Motherfuckers wonder why people hate British food, dude. Because
do people hate British food?
Yeah, because it's disgusting.
That shepherd's pie shit is tight.
Shepherd's pie is. Bomb.
Yeah, you can get fucking fat on that real quick.
Fish and chips and mushy peas. Oh, kidding that's, my pussy. Man,
I can suck the dick. I mean, fish and chips. That's just fried fish and french fries, right?
You're just fried fish and french fries.
That ain't fucking no speciality.
Oh, Matthew.
That shit's bomb, though.
Have you watched anything, dude?
I did. I started watching The Boys, because like...
The Boys.
Again, first time?
Yeah, no. So we watched the first episode when it came out.
A little bit of,
then Aaliyah was weird because it used rape as a plot device, and then so we started using the second episode, and then they used rape
started
as a plot.
Using
the
episode,
yeah, I love that because it is mind altering. So
started
using
the second episode, and then they used rape as a plot device in the second episode.
Started using.
So Aaliyah got a little weird about that. We started watching The Expanse on Amazon. That was tight, because Aaliyah wanted more sci-fi.
The Expanse is real good.
We're two episodes in, I think.
That show goes like...
It goes ham.
It spirals out, dude.
Tight. I watched Sleepaway Camp 2 and 3. I watched Ice Cream Man today.
Jesus Christ, you watched that much shit in the last 3 days?
Yeah. Dude, work is slow and boring. And I read a book called Mousetrap that Brian Asman let me borrow. I forgot the author's name. But it's basically like the game Mousetrap if it was like real, but for humans.
So I'm supposed to believe you read a book in the last 3 days?
It was like 160 pages. So it's not like a novel, or it's like a novel.
It's a novella?
Yeah, there you go. Novella. There you go.
Overachieving it. Fuck.
I got another book in my bag right now. And I'm beta reading Brian's new book called about werewolves.
What is that like? Not alpha reading. It's like it's when you're a beta and you're reading.
Yeah,
it's huddled in a corner crying. Yeah. Reading.
Brian's a beta cuck, and so I'm reading his book. No, that's not true. Yes, it is.
Brian. Oh, no, Brian Osman.
That's Brian Osman. So yeah, that's pretty much all I've done. And then Dead by Daylight, as always.
DDD.
DBD.
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 What about you, Rhett? Anything other than Twin Peaks?
We finished Twin Peaks season 3, mm-hmm. which means we've finished all of them. It is one of my favorite things. Like I said, it's one of the best things I've ever seen, full stop. But having finished it,
It's garbage.
No, dude. No, this last episode. No. Oh my god, it is such mind fuckery. Like, it is like, because you invest so much time in it, you think he's gonna wrap it up with a nice bow. You just think it's gonna, like, he's gonna do it. He's gonna do that for us, and it's like, why would he do that for you? It's fucking Twin Peaks, and it's David Lynch.
Yeah, nothing was cohesive throughout the show. Why would the end be
super cohesive? They explain shit that you saw that you thought was absurd, like in the second episode of the first season, and it links up 25 years later. It is extremely cohesive.
Got him.
I've never seen that many Easter eggs.
I've never seen something so cohesive.
So I really kind of haven't.
So, okay, if it's 25 years later, why doesn't that come across as like fan service or pandering? If they're just like, oh, you know what? This little thing happened. We should write this.
Fan service this dick. Like you said.
So that's what you wanted. You just want to be fluffed up.
Because he doesn't.
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes you do.
Sometimes you do, number one. Number two, fan service. Like, look, this, you know.
Motherfucker.
You know Kyle MacLachlan. He's the main guy. He's Cooper.
Do you remember me? That MacLachlan?
Yeah, I like that. 80, I do believe it's working. Wait, yeah. We're not doing MacLachlan right now.
We're not? I feel like we are.
But, okay. Look, he's Dale Cooper, right? He's the main character. The main character of the fucking show.
So still no idea who he is, but fine.
Okay, it's the main character of the show. This is fan service, right? This is an example of not doing fan service, actually. The season 3 comes out 25 years later, and what do they do with their main character? He's basically incapacitated most of the series, and you can barely make words. So it's not a fan service show. Like, it's not giving you what you ever expect.
In your face, idiot.
You know what I mean? And then,
joke's on me.
And then by the time that you're like okay with that, you've accepted that, and all the other shit he's shown you besides what you've already seen, Dale Cooper returns, and it's like, oh my god, I'm gonna come and cry at the same time.
I'm gonna come. Wait, you don't already come and cry at the same? Is that just me? No, I know George has to do it.
I usually cry first.
Yeah, you gotta cry first to get it out.
I cry during. It's like, as I feel my climax building, I start getting a little.
Oh God! I can't even. I'm just. It's just. It's.
Stop your crying, you sniveling ass.
Did we watch anything else? Oh yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Yes, I did.
Yes, I did.
I watched some Star Trek The Next Motherfucking Generation. That's what I watched.
That's a good show.
That show is fucking great, and it's really great right now. And god damn it, I wish people watched that show. They should show that fucking show.
People
like,
do in watch that show.
I mean, I mean, took it, like, god, man, it's got some real fucking value to it, mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Jesus Christ.
And the movies aren't, you know, they're not slouches.
No.
Like Nemesis with What's-His-Face in it? That's good.
Yeah, I'm feeling a hardcore comeback for me for the older Star Trek stuff at this moment in time.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's really needed.
Okay.
Some optimism, but some fucking intelligence, but some curiosity, you know?
You know.
All that kind of shit.
All right, cool.
Hella D.
I watched... are you done?
I'm done.
I started watching The Umbrella Academy. That's good.
Yeah, good. I watched the whole season.
Good second season. Good
start.
How
far did you get?
Like two or three. It's good. It's good.
It's pretty
I'm
good.
I'm hoping that it gets to a point soon, because I feel like it's a little bit meandery.
It meanders for a lot of the season.
But, you know, it's okay. I can roll with it, but I wasn't home very much, so I didn't watch anything else. Should we get to the films?
I mean, we do have two of them. Yeah, but you know what I want to get to first?
Fuck the news.
I want to get to patreon.com/whogoesthereirpodcast. You know why? Because people that go to patreon.com/whogoesthereirpodcast and click that subscribe button help us continue doing this amazing show. And, you know, it's not free, but it's not cheap either. So you go and you click and you donate a little bit of money. You get exclusive content, bonus episodes, exclusive merchandise, access to the Patreon-only Discord, and we get to keep doing the show.
It is free and it is cheap, but nonetheless. What? Sorry, go ahead.
That's it. Oh, and we have a new homie.
Do we?
Who
we
that is?
Do.
Damn.
Their name is Janelle Shambo.
Shamona.
Janelle.
Shambo.
Janelle.
Janelle.
Shambo.
Shamon.
Shimona.
Well, welcome, Shimona.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should legally change your name to Shimona. Maybe not. All right, so the Who Goes There podcast, watched a couple movies. The first one we're going to talk about is called Host, directed by Rob Savage, written by Gemma Hurley, Rob Savage, starring
Fred Savage,
Haley Bishop, Fred Savage. Gemma Moore, Emma Louise Webb, Radina Drandova.
Her name's Radina?
That's actually the character's name, too.
I think everybody is named after
everybody
themselves.
Everybody is named Carolyn, Caroline Ward.
Everyone Alan, is named Carolyn.
Annalise. Caroline!
I kept saying that.
She's the reason for the word, bitch.
Salen Baxter. This is a little movie that was filmed via... What's the app?
Zoom.
Zoom. Done during the year of our Lord, COVID.
What the fuck? That's good.
Matt.
Yes.
What'd you think of Host?
I know you like to think this shit don't stink, but lean a little bit closer and you'll see this really smells like poo, poo, poo. No, it's pretty good. Okay. It's like an hour long and didn't take long to get to the point. It's not anything that hasn't been done before.
Mm-hmm.
And
although technically it has not been done before.
I mean, no. I mean, like, they've done similar things, but it's pretty fun. Pretty fun little movie.
All right. Riggedy Rat, what'd you think?
I mixed. I, at first, it has, Matt said, yeah, it's stuff that hasn't been done. It reminded me of course, Unfriended.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a striking thing of it being so timely where there's the masks and they're, someone coughs and they bring up the fucking...
You can't cough.
And so there is a novelty to it for right now.
You mean like the novel coronavirus?
No. Ooh.
Yeah, I do. Like that.
Yeah.
And I liked the idea of that it was harder to contain this supernatural thing because they weren't localized. They weren't in the same area. When you're doing a seance and when you're doing a ritual magic thing, containment is a very important thing. And how the fuck is that going to work if none of you guys are in the same room and you're not going to have the circle and the square? You're not going to do this stuff. And this bitch is like, just imagine a circle. I'm like, that's not going to fucking work.
That's not it, fam.
The Ghostbusters imagine
two of them for the moon rituals.
Stay Puft the Marshmallow Man, for Christ's sake. So, yeah. No, that's
stay
not gonna...
shredded Marshmallow Man.
That's right. So, yeah. Okay. No, but so I liked that they messed with that idea, and I liked a couple of the kills, how they happened, but I thought it wore out its welcome pretty fucking quick in the midsection,
which is weird because it's only 55 minutes long,
56 minutes, and then, however, I didn't hate it. I didn't hate the thing. I liked what it was doing. I liked how it was messing. Like I said, I liked it introducing those ideas. I thought the performances were pretty naturalistic. They seemed like real stupid bitches, which they are. and they had that
the dumb, guy included.
That guy sucked dick, and I knew we were going to talk shit about him. And there was one more thing. Oh, the big thing with me, though, that takes it down a few notches is...
The Indian woman.
Oh, no, it's... Our camera for this is the computer.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that. Well, let me tell you what I think.
Okay,
I think this is a pretty decent flick.
Yeah.
For what we got going on, I think it's a little bit better than Unfriended in some regards.
Mm-hmm. I agree with the ideas. Yeah.
Some technical stuff I think is like I'm looking at it and I go, what the fuck are you guys doing with this? But overall, I think like Rhett said, the acting is pretty natural. With the exception of a couple characters, and we'll get to that. But yeah, overall, I'm pretty in.
You know, the funny thing was, Tom texts me and he goes, "Have you seen The Host?" And I'm like, "Fuck yeah, that movie's awesome, dude." And he's like, "Yeah, I watched it last night. It's pretty good." And like, I said, "Yeah, I think that's the same guy that did Parasite." And then he didn't respond. And then I realized that there was a new movie called Host, and he was talking about that movie, and I hadn't seen it at all. And he went on Twitter and was talking about how great it was and tagged us in the post. I'm like, oh, shit, what if this movie sucks? Like, he's dragging our name with this terrible movie.
Yeah, important of
Host versus The Host. See, and there's another movie called The Host from 2020.
Which guy has like one star.
It's supposed to be horrible.
Tom loves to make that mistake when he fucking messages me, is he adds and removes the word the, making it a completely different movie and making me feel like an asshole because I talk about the wrong thing. Because he's from
Florida. You bring up a good...
He's going to kill me now. Oh my God. It was nice knowing you guys.
With the one vein you brought to the party.
I can get out of the country.
Pump it up, dude.
I can't leave the country. Trump won't let me leave.
Pump that vein, dude.
It's not even Trump that won't let you leave. It's the rest of the countries that won't let you come in.
The world won't let you go in.
They say, then leave. We can't.
We can't, dude. We're stuck forever.
The wall that was supposed to make us great is keeping us locked in.
Yeah, what do you know?
We're not so great right now. We're fucked.
Yeah, you bring up an interesting point about the perspective of the film. And it's fucky as shit because you don't. It's supposed to be another person.
Yeah, I can get over it.
Wait, what do you mean it's supposed to be another person?
This is what I'm here. Like, I can get over it if it's no big deal. Like if I'm lost in the thing. But the thing is, someone's in midair, and we're seeing the vantage point of the laptop, which means they're holding on to their laptop in midair if they're getting picked up by something.
I had a problem with the way the main girl holds the laptop at the very beginning.
You do not hold your laptop.
When you pick up your laptop, the screen is facing you. And so the way she had it, she picked up her laptop, turned it around so the screen and the camera are facing away, and then she walked that way.
Sophia said that too. She said no one would do that.
Yeah.
Like, well, unless she like makes fucking videos and wants people, like, what if she was like banging herself?
But like, she wasn't. No. She was just like, she was just calling her home girls, you know? And if you're banging yourself and you're on video chat, maybe it's because you want people to watch you bang yourself.
Maybe she's been monetizing that snatch, you know?
But then why would she turn it away from herself?
She's got an OnlyFans.
She'd be sticking the camera in her crotch. That's how you make the money.
And one further step back, the computer that we're watching is also being controlled by another person.
Someone. Whose computer is that?
Because
at least like in Unfriended and in The Den and in like Cradle of Fear and like the other movies Cradle like of this. Filth. It's actually a movie made by Cradle of Filth.
Well, go figure.
It's called Cradle of Fear.
The Hand That Rocks the Cradle was also made by Cradle of Filth.
The Hand That Rocks the Cradle of Filth.
They love Rebecca De Mornay.
Danny Filth and Rebecca De Mornay. Rebecca De Filth. God damn it. See, now
Filth
I'm not even
derailed your train.
I'm not even high and you knocked my thought train off the tracks.
I'm not even high and my thought train is always off the tracks.
Oh yeah. So at least like with The Den and these other and Unfriended, you knew whose screen you were watching and like it was that person. But once the call actually starts, you're looking at a different because you're looking at the main girl's computer first.
No,
she's the one that makes the call, though.
Yeah, she's the one that makes the call. But at the that computer that it's on is hosting the call.
See, like that stuff, that technical aspect. It makes sense when you're saying it, and that also doesn't add up, like, some of it. But it didn't bother me again until, like, later on where people are running. They're running with this thing, and that means they're running with a laptop, right?
Some of them might have been on their phones.
No, that's the thing. That's what I mean. They could have easily solved this by showing them via a mirror, switch over to their phone, and show us that our vantage point is now the phone. Because also, besides the vantage point, no one would be running with a laptop. People would be running with a phone. So all I had to do was like get more, just not be so fucking lazy. Like no one walks through a hall with a laptop, fucking. And again, by this point too, there's one character left at one point, and her camera would be showing nobody.
Yeah,
but she still got it on with her laptop, so we can see. That makes no fucking. Have her phone on with the camera left on.
Well, there was a scene where the one girl
right out of the movie.
At the beginning, the one Asian girl with the glasses, she switched from her phone to a laptop or to a computer. Yeah. Like she came in.
Well, it's almost like they were thinking
over.
About that aspect in the beginning, and they were like, you know what? It's too complicated.
Yeah, they're like, we only got an hour, and like I really loved that this was an hour because they didn't really fuck around with setting the story. They're just like, okay, well, this is a very simple premise. Here we go.
90 minutes of this would have been
way too at least 30 minutes too brutal. Much. And like, how did they do the seance? Because unless I missed something, the old white bitch got on the conference call.
Yep.
They lit a candle and then stuff. Like, I don't remember them saying anything. Well, I don't remember
the idea,
them like...
the idea was that because the Asian girl...
Oh, she like she insulted trying, the spirits.
She invited something that wasn't a ghost. She well, created a mask for something to inhabit.
Okay, so... but okay, that's...
Which was an interesting idea.
That's all well and good, but like... If we all three lit candles here and then I was like, oh, I hear the name of a dead girl I went to school with, we didn't do anything to like open a channel, you know, like just lighting the candles isn't going to create like a gateway to the astral plane.
They had kind of started doing little things. They were talking, they were doing like the, oh, are, is there any spirits in the room?
But I mean, like, don't you normally... Like,
what do you normally do is it's 2 a.m., you get up to get a drink of water and then you realize you're by yourself. So you go... and you wait for a response.
Yeah, and then
And then you just hear
Yeah. I mean, what do you really do anyway? I mean, unless you're actually getting down with some real ritualistic shit.
No, I mean, that's what I was thinking, like, was that there would have to be like some sort of incantation, some sort of like...
The night time is the right time.
Yeah.
The night time is the right time.
You know, and that's Adam Sandler, right?
I will say too, because we were doing it. We were doing this. We were watching this.
We're Sophia's doing
like,
it.
Sophia's like, I want to do that. I have a seance. I'm like, yeah. And she's all, what, you wouldn't? I'm like, yeah, I would do it, but it's a ghost, you know? It doesn't interest me. She's like, why? I'm like, well, because I'd want to talk to like an actual entity, like an interdimensional entity or something infernal, like something, you know, something like that. And it's just different to me, you know. It's more. And then she's like,
I don't want a ghost, I want a demon.
Well, I
want
to, like,
he wants a demon,
not some... I already talked to ghosts. And she's like, what do you mean? I'm like, I'm talking to you. We're people. Ghosts are people. They're dead people. Like, I don't want to talk to people anymore. Like, I want to talk...
Sophia's a ghost.
Yeah, as in, like, she's a person. Her. There's a ghost that lives in her body, because when her body dies, there will be a ghost. If you believe in ghosts, I'm talking to you right now, right? What do you think ghosts are? They're just dead people.
Not me?
They're dead people.
Dude, yeah, but like, I'm not a ghost, dude.
You're just a biomechanical machine that runs on...
you're run by like this consciousness thing that we so would call a ghost if you believed in ghosts.
Despite all my consciousness, so I'm still just a ghost and a dude?
He wants to talk to an alien. He doesn't give a fuck about ghosts.
I want
to
talk to an alien, exactly, an interdimensional being, something that's not just some human fuck that used to live here.
If you want the aliens, you gotta run butt naked backwards through a cornfield.
That shit alien, fucking... Dude, that shit happened.
The alien just said, you want a what, bitch?
So yeah,
fuck my mouth. Wait, so
the thing where this movie starts to trip up is the moment you see the ghost.
Oh yeah,
I from that moment going forward, and then you see it again. I go, oh, why?
And it doesn't make any goddamn sense, because it's just like hanging feet. Like, so it was a ghost that got hung. Dude, I had that thought too. I'm like, oh my God, this is like Unfriended mixed with The Gallows. Jacob is going to cream his fucking pants. And I didn't get it. I didn't get why he was this hanging, or it was a hanging floating thing.
Because of the story.
What story?
The story that she told.
So it was just she said it was a random story, right?
So essentially the demon took the
yeah, it's like, oh, there's a Jack. I'm Jack now.
The face of that story.
But so did the kid in the story hang himself?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I must have missed that. Yeah. And then it was like some weird, I got to say, I really did love the end of it. Like the last minute specifically, like where you see the countdown for the free time or for the free trial going.
Yeah, that's a cool little moment.
I was like, oh shit, something is definitely going to happen within the next 10, 9. And like, you're waiting for it and waiting for it. And it's like, okay, is something going to happen right before the timer? Is like the timer going to run out and we're just going to miss it? And I thought that was a really nice little thing, because it did a really good job of building tension in that last 30 seconds or so. Because you knew like it's going to end and something's going to happen or it's not.
Yeah.
There was no mystery about when the end of the movie was coming.
This, I thought it did a good job building tension a few places here and there.
Yeah.
And then, oh, one thing I like. When it showed that girl just walking in her room over and over again, they had that looped footage.
Yeah.
That was really good. And that was really creepy, because it's cool too, because it's blurring this line. It's like, is this digital fuckery or is this interdimensional fuckery? Like, meaning, is this the demon? What's the difference? Like, it would manifest it's electromagnetic, right? So
it's both.
It would fuck with the shit. And I like it, it created this idea that she's, you could get trapped in loops too.
Oh, yeah.
And all that shit.
See, I wish I would have done a little bit of research on this because I want to know if it was done like Unfriended where they were all in the same room, you know, or if they were like actually in different houses. Because there was a lot of people that worked on this movie.
So what I understand is the parts that, because there's obvious CGI in this film. From what I understand, the things that happened, the majority of the film were done from the actors' homes. So
individual homes, like they weren't all in the same house.
No, so it was acted via Zoom meeting.
Okay,
which is, I mean, in and of itself, kind of a fucking accomplishment.
Well, see, because there was stuff I was wondering if it was like done in post or if they kind of filmed things and then spliced it together to look like a Zoom meeting. Specifically, when that one girl was in her living room, the girl that kept using the filters, and then you saw that face just floating in the hall, like. I knew what was going to happen. Like, that's a paint-by-numbers jump scare, but still, just waiting for it to turn and look at you was really unnerving. Because it's like,
and even they did that thing where they use like a Polaroid camera,
to try to
spook you. And they did the thing where they told the joke, and then told the joke a little bit more, and then told the joke till it wasn't funny. And then ultimately, like, it was kind of creepy. Like, I think it built an adequate amount of tension right there. It was a good, yeah. It was
like using the Polaroid at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only problem was they didn't actually look at any of the fucking photos.
I'm glad you brought up the Polaroid too, because it made me think about, because I like to think about the trajectory of how stuff's developed. And I think it was in there, like, for instance, Zoom. This year, all of a sudden, everyone's got to get on Zoom for some reason. For a work call or something like that. Where that came from, like 30 years ago, 40 years ago at this point, I mean, the closest analog to that was a Polaroid camera because you had instant photography. You get what I mean? So it was cool. Follow what I'm saying?
Because
now you have like, oh, we can see each other on film all the time.
Yeah.
But the closest thing to that once upon a time was fucking Polaroid.
Well, now we used to be so excited for digital film where we get the print right away, and now we have digital cameras where we don't actually print any of the fucking photos. They just live on our phone forever until we delete them.
Right. Barely any physical pictures existed.
And I thought, Polaroid film was a thing of the past, but I guess there's a whole bunch of people that are still making it.
Yeah, and there's another company that's making Polaroid. It's not Polaroid. It's another company. But
Zinc.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Fuji still makes like Polaroid stuff too.
Matt was gonna get really mad at me for saying that right now.
saying what
about the Polaroid and how it's developed into?
Not developed.
Developed. See, there it is. It's self-referencing. It's meta communication.
I mean, it is. I highly doubt that they intended for that. You know, like for
I don't.
You don't. You think they intended that, like, to draw that comparison?
I think they're writers, and they understood if they're not.
You think they're writers?
Yeah, they wrote. They wrote the film, so they were writing a Polaroid in and tension, and they're thinking about. They got to think about structure. They got to think about, wow, this is different. What makes this movie different than movies like this? Other found footage. What's going on? And so they start thinking about found footage films, and they start thinking about fucking photography and. How things were.
I mean, the idea that they were able to create this film in the middle of all this shit show happening, I think just in and of itself from a technical standpoint is pretty amazing.
It's an experimental accomplishment. Yeah.
It shows what you can do when you have friends, free time, and creativity.
Well,
I have none.
One of our listeners, I forget the name, unfortunately. I think it was that Hit Me With Music guy.
Instagram. Dan DeMaio. Yeah.
Oh, is it?
He likes ska.
He likes reggae.
Yeah, I seem to like the dude quite a bit, but he didn't. I saw his thing on Instagram. He's all, yeah, if you like dumb jump scares and people doing stupid things, this is the movie for you.
I mean, he's not wrong.
He's not wrong, but I see other stuff going on there and on its own merits, like you guys just mentioned. So for the people who watch this and are like, oh, it's just fucking dumb jump. It's like, yes, it is dumb jump scares.
I don't even think the jump scares were dumb.
They weren't dumb, by the way.
They were a little excessive, but I mean.
Three good ones.
That's really kind of par for the sauce for the goose. No, that's
sauce.
That's a different thing.
Well, it's fucking horror movies. But there's going to be jump scares.
It's more, yeah. It's kind of just par for the course when you're doing any kind of like, haunting or possession kind of movie, is that it's just going to all be jump scares because that's essentially what ghost movies are, is things moving on their own, things popping up when they shouldn't be there. And
yeah, besides, you know, the atmosphere, the creepy atmosphere and all that.
I mean, you could just like subtly do those things in the background and hope people notice, but people are kind of fucking dumb. So unless you beat them over the head with it, like, they might miss it. And then, you know, your movie loses a little bit of its zing.
That's right. It's not like jump scares in and of themselves are a bad idea. No. You know? It's, but La Llorona.
There's a new La Llorona. Did you see that?
No.
It's on Shudder.
You want to do it? No, I'm just kidding.
Maybe. Did you see what the budget was for this, George?
No, it's probably like $15.
It's some White Claw and
Zoom probably paid
a Friday night
to do the movie.
Probably, it's, you're probably not 100% wrong.
It is great, because I would imagine they got permission and then some from Zoom. Because they use the name, they use the
platform. Yeah, they would have to.
Yeah. Which is interesting to me that Zoom was like, oh, we can't be affiliated with a horror. Like, no, they're not. They're like, yeah, we can be affiliated with a horror movie. Great.
It did say Zoom, right? Like,
yeah.
Was it,
yeah. Very,
it was
very clearly Zoom. Yeah.
Very clearly. And I thought that was interesting.
Hmm. Yeah, it's good. I mean, I highly enjoyable, dude. It's 50 minutes, 56 minutes. You're in, you're out. You got a couple spooks.
Yeah. No boobs.
No boobs.
But like some good blood and guts.
One other thing. Sorry, it's a knock on the film. If you don't mind. It's if your movie's only 56 minutes, you have to convince me that there's good reason people don't just leave. You see? Why wouldn't
you
they
mean,
quarantine, homie?
One of them left the house, right? But
where are they going to go?
It doesn't, that's the thing, like you would you're going too far with it. If you're in this situation, would you stay in the house?
Fuck no.
You would leave immediately. And say, well, then you don't have a movie. Then you need to not be a lazy fuck and give me a reason as a writer.
I guess I wonder where would you go?
You would anywhere leave. But there.
You would leave immediately. Go to 7-Eleven. It would be hard for that shit to go down at 7-Eleven.
I mean, would it?
Yeah,
I don't know. This ghost is pretty.
I mean,
well,
like,
then you have a new scene and a new scenario that I haven't seen before, at least.
Yeah, like, unless the ghost is only like
haunted 7-Eleven, that would be pretty all right.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, you have to give me a reason, then make rules.
Well,
like,
it's probably, I mean, obviously it's budgetary constraints.
You know,
I know, but make rule, write it into the reasoning of the movie why they you give me, because I'm just, again, it takes me out of the movie if someone's just trudging through a hall. Also, if you hear something in your house at night. And let's say you think it's a burglar.
I'm shooting it.
Right. People are not. And so what are you going to do? What are their ideas to do if this thing, if they confront it? It's not physical. You can't do anything to it.
Well,
you
I don't
get
think.
Get the fuck out of there.
Yeah, but the thing is, you know, I'm just going to play devil's
advocate. If it's a burglar, you get the fuck out a lot of people.
I'm gonna play devil's advocate. I don't think that a lot of people think rationally during those times. You know, it takes a very.
These are trying times.
Well, it takes a very special type of person to be able to look danger in the face and think rationally, you know, like I don't doubt if there was a burglar in his house, George could, you know, focus and be like, I'm gonna get the gun, I'm gonna go out there, I'm gonna be level-headed, I'm gonna take care of this. Me, I'd be like, I've already pissed my pants, I can't fit out the window.
I mean, yeah, just
as an
example.
I'm dead.
So we're not dealing with a burglar, is my point. We're
well,
dealing
right,
with
but if there's a fucking ghost in my house, like, that's the thing, is I'm saying that, like.
And I just saw it kill
somebody. There's certain people that can think clearly and rationally and under these type of situations, and then there's a lot of people who can't. And
I
feel
most
like.
People can, man. Can't.
I was going to say, and that's the thing.
Panic, you would leave. There's no rationality, just panic. Panic response.
Well, no, you. I mean, but you're talking about what are you going to.
Confrontational. Like, where are you? Like, what are you going to do when you see it?
If you kick him in the face.
Yeah. No, that's the thing. Is like, I wouldn't, I think it would all be instinct. You know, I think they're not thinking rationally. And that's kind of why they're like, who are you? What are you doing? You know, things like that. Like, they don't know what else to do. That's just their instinct. You know, it's kind of like fight or flight. And this is like the little bit of fight that they can manage before pissing themselves and running away.
Yeah. So I mean, pretty good. It's a good flick.
Yeah, I think it's worth a watch. Don't expect anything, you know.
In 56 minutes on Shudder, if
Shudder,
you have Shudder
exclusive. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's what's up. All right, we'll be right back to talk about Imperator. Actually, that's
Emperor's New Groove.
Emperor's New Groove. It's a good movie.
Yep.
Hey, Matt.
So, dude.
Guess what, homie?
Fucking Rhett ditched the D.
Ditched the D, dude.
And we're back, dude.
And we're back to talk about a little bit of a movie.
A little bit of a movie.
Called, I'll tell you in just one second.
Called DDD.
Called Impetigore.
Impetigore.
2019's Impetigore, but it just recently released to Shudder as a Shudder exclusive. Is that correct, fellas?
Yep.
Yeah.
Directed by Joko Anwar, also written by Joko Anwar. Starring Tara Basro, Ario Bayou, Marissa Anita, Christine Hakim, Asmara Abigail, Kiki.
Oh, little Kiki, one piece of the one from Bow Wow.
Sydney Hakim, Farandina Mufti. Oh, fuck.
You're Farandina Mufti.
Muhammad Abe Bison. M. Bison, dude. That's M. Yeah. Bison.
Oh, damn.
It is, though. That's where they did it. That's where they got it.
Yeah, dude. Impetigore. Rhett, what'd you think of Impetigore?
George, what did you think of Impetigore?
Rhett, what'd you think of Impetigore?
George, what did you think of Impetigore?
I'm Rhett.
Yeah.
And I'll try to keep it succinct.
No, you won't.
I will. I will try to keep it. It doesn't mean I will.
Yeah.
You're right, but I will try.
Yeah.
It's a very good-looking movie. I like how it starts. It's very atmospheric. It's in an interesting location because it's an Indonesian film. The acting's pretty good. There's some really ambitious visual stuff. The premise starts simple enough and it takes a left turn into some other stuff, which I liked. And then as it keeps going and going and going, I actually became less and less interested in it. And by the time it wrapped up in the third act, I thought it had way too much fucking going on. And I don't know, maybe some... I figured Matt would be like, oh, Rhett loves this movie, but I think it looks really nice. But the stuff that's supposed to have a lot of impact in the third act, I was actually thinking was pretty hokey.
Okay.
But yeah.
All right. Matt, what'd you think?
I don't know how Rhett could think this looks nice because I couldn't see a fucking thing. This movie was so goddamn dark for like 80% of it. Like, mm-hmm. I had my computer's brightness turned all the way up and I couldn't see shit. I was trying to post a little video on Instagram and I had to keep waiting and waiting
for something to be bright.
All you could see was like a tiny square of orange on their hands. That being said, I think it meandered for about 20 minutes too long, like I did with that little rant. I felt like the story was kind of like flopped all over the place.
All over the fucking
place. I had to watch it twice just to figure it out, and I had to like step by step write down the things that happened that made shit important.
Yeah, at first I'm like, what, did she fuck her son? Oh no, her son fucked
It's like, you're my father, he's my father.
It's like a novella. It ends up being like a Indonesian soap opera horror.
Like a Mexican soap opera. A novella.
I really had to go back and focus to keep shit straight. But I mean, I liked it. Mostly,
yeah.
Some good imagery.
I'm mostly in that same camp. I think it's super ambitious, and I do think there are some visuals that are pretty striking. But overall, 80% of this movie, I go, it's fucking dark. I can't see shit.
Yeah.
I didn't get it from. Yeah. That's,
you also watched it like in a pitch black house with like candlelight, so you were in the perfect setting to watch that movie.
Yeah, that's how I like doing these horror movies. Yeah, and that worked. It's true. I watched it on a big screen TV, and
I watched it at a loading dock.
yeah, that would be tough.
That might add to the atmosphere a little bit.
Yeah. Well, at least you remember the beginning of the film though. Like on their way there, like the greenery and the lush environment.
And so like when the sun,
shots when she's hanging upside down and how it looks, it's fucking a lot of texture, a lot of stuff in there.
Yeah, when the sun was out and when you could actually see, there was some really nice shots. Like there's a good eye for direction here, you know? Like, there were some really nice camera placements and good scenes.
Really
and
dynamic shots, too. Like
even that opening shot, I think it's probably the most impressive shot of the whole movie, where, you know, you have this almost like a slasher film happening in the first like 5-10 minutes. I think that scene was
done. Opening sequence was great.
Incredibly well done.
And they did a great job because they hooked you. You were like, oh fuck yeah, this is great. And then it did nothing for an hour.
Yeah, I mean it does. It has this mythology and this care that they start building the world, and then about 2/3 of the way through, it's like, oh, well, none of that really matters. Like the ghosts are inconsequential to this whole thing, and it's a morality tale. Okay, cool.
Well, really, everything was inconsequential. You know, like.
Really, isn't it all, dude?
Oh no, I mean, yeah, so okay, yeah, they're talking about doing their clothing.
This fucking show is inconsequential, dude.
It is.
Whoa.
They're talking about doing their clothing business, which ultimately leads to nothing. They go to the house.
Everything lead to nothing?
Yeah, dude. Ultimately, it does. You know, and then
when
this episode is over, then there's nothing, and then we go home to nothing.
Nothing's the same as something.
Wake up to nothing, then we go camp and nothing.
Whoa. So I didn't think it did nothing for an hour. It's just when it got where it's going, and when it was drowning babies and shit, spoiler alert, I'm on board. I'm like, fuck yeah, they're gonna drown babies and shit. Here we go. All right.
Snapping kids' necks.
And that's the thing, when we're at drowning babies, that's where I'm super in. Like haven't told you the whole story yet. But then there's a scene that takes 10 minutes where they're just like, info dump, info dump.
Oh, yeah.
Info dump, dude. Info dump, info dump.
They did that a few times because they had it with the two girls in the hut where it's like, hey, here's the whole story of the curse here. And then like they take a few minutes and they're like, oh, yeah, here's some more expo on that. And then when she's running in the woods and she encounters the ghost, and the ghost is like, oh yeah, by the way, here's a whole another 5-minute info dump.
No, it's difficult to, and it's difficult to follow too, because you've got sort of three intertwining stories that people are telling kind of from an unreliable narrative type situation. Yeah. Where you hear the first part of the story, you're like, oh, okay, got it. Somebody fucked somebody, and the baby came out skinless, and so they had to kill some babies to skin the baby. And then you find out that
they had to kill some babies to skin the baby. Got it.
And then you've got, okay, well, no, but like really, like he cheated on his wife, or she cheated on her husband, and that's the reason why there's skin babies. But wait a second, dude, the mother-in-law is the real cause of the skin babies.
Ryan's dumb. Yeah.
It's like every 10...
Oh, that's dumb as fuck.
After the 1 hour mark, it's basically every 10 minutes, it's, oh yeah, did I forget to mention this? And then it just goes back and it's a little more story.
Well, dude, okay, where it got really good again to me initially was they had a flashback. The first flashback they showed, where the first time they explained what was going on, I was like, okay, cool, I need this. And yeah, you're doing a flashback, so you're cheating, but I'm on board with this, because they had the silhouette of him chopping the people up and all that. That was cool. And they showed the puppets that looked cool. I'm like, okay. But then they lit, like you said, they did like 3 or 4 maybe info dump flashback sequences. Yeah. And it's like, are we good?
Like the first one, like, was
actually when you have to go back and figure out what the plot actually was, they are very good, because it's like, hey, here's all the info I need in like 3 minutes.
The nice thing about the first one is it felt like a puppet show, because it had sort of some magic to it and whatnot. The time when they're explaining, like, oh, and on their wedding night, and then, you know, he came into the house, and there's like, did he rape her? Did he not? I don't understand. Like,
no, they were totally having an affair. That's what had happened. So, like, dude, I step-by-step this shit. Are we going to get that deep into spoilers? Because we haven't even talked about what the movie's about, really. We're just like, this is what we thought about it.
General premise, a lady... a lady gets attacked by an individual that makes it clear to her that something to do with her father. There's a village that she needs to revisit where she's originally from. And the village there, the people are suffering from what they believe is a curse. And they believe the curse is intimately connected to a certain person whom she comes to believe, and they come to understand later, is her. And so she goes to the village to fucking kind of look this thing in the eye and see what's what. Speaking of which, before you do that.
Speaking of.
Again, this is one where, like, motivations. Like, why the fuck would she go to this village? And it's like, by herself. So she like, was, she didn't. She went with her friend. So two chicks from the city are going to go to an Indonesian village? Well, she was going to
go by herself. That's that's the most bizarre thing.
So ineffective. Like, at best, you'll get raped. At best. This is the fucking Indonesian village. And even when they were about to, she's all, you don't have to rape me. You could just ask. I'm like, that's how it is there, I guess. Holy shit.
Indonesia. Yeah, she was like, we could just fuck. You don't have to be a dick.
And I was like, hey, I was watching with Sophia. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like,
oh, that's how it is in Indonesia.
That's like, what the hell?
That's what's up.
They went to the village because they were basically broke from their clothing business. And they thought that they could get that house that she believed belonged to her family.
Which but is, you got to go with a better, like, not you and two chick, like, it's just two girls. I get
which
what
is
you're
such saying. A stretch to begin with. Like, the idea that this one picture, and it's the only picture she has of her parents, so to speak, she's like, I'm going to go to this village to collect on this house? Like, what the fuck? And then you've got this little piece of paper that's stuck in her leg, which makes sense at the end. But getting to there, I go, why'd you fucking.
That part was cool by itself, but not with everything getting there.
Like well, said, and the scene where she gets that piece of paper, I had to watch that like four times, and I still had no idea how she notices it and why it's just coming. Because it's so weird that the dad puts it in her leg, and that guy just cuts right there, and then she sees the piece of paper sticking out days later. Because she just saw it kind of sticking out there and pulled it out of her leg.
Yeah. It's trying to do too much.
It is trying to do too much, and the thing is that there's some good things going on, but unfortunately, it does stumble on its robes, man, because it's like
fucking robes.
It's robes, dude. Sampers.
And what is with people slitting their own throat in this movie? Like,
I don't know.
That's not a thing. Like,
it's an honor thing or something.
They're not samurais. Is that like shitty samurais in Indonesia?
It's like instead Indonesian seppuku.
Yeah, they just like. Ugh. So when the mom does it, I'm sorry. Like whatever, you don't know the mom is if you haven't seen it, which is good. Whatever. When she does it, I'm like, it's fucking lame.
At least
like,
when
what like
at least when she did it, I saw a reason. You know, it's like, oh, her son died. She's so fucking bummed. Like, she wants to be with him. When he did it, I was like,
gay.
That's weird. And then when the girl threatened to do it earlier to herself, you know, when she's like, at least she was like, oh, my ghost will haunt you forever. I'm like, oh, that's kind of tight. Like, I'll kill myself just so I can haunt you, make your life miserable.
When she was like the only character in the whole film that I didn't have issues with, because I, you know, like even with her husband being killed by a police officer, she's still like, well, we gotta fix this fucking village.
Dude, her husband was the dude from the beginning, though.
I know,
that's crazy.
That's fucking nuts, bro.
Yeah,
dude, you get that, dude? It's he's.
I definitely didn't catch it. Like the beginning, the first time I watched it, I'm like, what fucking police officer? What are you talking about, lady? And then the other guy gets shot. And the part with the cop later, I had no idea what happens there. Like, was the cop part of the village? Was the other guy part of the village? Why were they going to the village? Like, who went and got who? And
yeah, because it almost seemed like the cop was already on his way by the time she called.
Yeah,
and I was like, wait, he's already on his way. She just called. What's happening?
But who was she in contact with? That's the thing. I don't even know who she was in contact with, because it wasn't homegirl's husband. Because like he got murked in the beginning.
She was in contact with some fucking Sancho.
Yeah, but who? Who is the Sancho?
I'm just kidding.
And was the Sancho in on it with the villagers, or was the cop in on it with the villagers? Because I think the cop was in on it.
So. Okay, explain this to me, Matthew.
I don't want to explain shit about this movie.
So the baby, the original baby, was born skinless.
Yes.
Okay.
That's right.
That baby came because the wife squaxed the other homeboy, not her husband.
Yes.
Okay. So the baby comes out skinless.
Uh-huh.
But how does the baby, the mother puts the curse on them? Why?
So the
Good luck, okay. Bro.
No. So the girl's dad, what's his name? Dong something.
Yeah.
Dong Shlong.
So Dong is like the village elder. His father, the
village D,
had the old witchy bitch as a servant. That's and right. He had an affair with her.
Dong Shlong versus witchy bitch.
Creating the bastard child.
Which is the puppet master.
Bastard from a basket.
The current puppet master, yeah. Right. Because they were both puppet masters.
This is a better puppet master movie than the last puppet master.
That's true. Yeah. Okay. So basically, the problem was when Dong's dad died.
Dong.
He left everything to Dong, and nothing to his other bastard son. His
bastard from a basket.
So when Dong couldn't get his wife pregnant, and the witchy mom found out her bastard son was sleeping with Dong's wife and got her pregnant, she, and this part is just my speculation, didn't want her grandchild to suffer the same bastard fate that her son did. So she put a curse on them to where her son would not remember the affair at all, and the baby would be born skinless and cursed.
So convoluted.
So she made a deal with the devil, and she had a price to pay, because then they tell you like three times that when you make a deal with the devil and there's a curse,
the you
curse
become the Indonesian equivalent of an old white bitch.
Yeah, never going away. You're a Lin Shaye.
Yeah.
It can only be replaced. So she made a deal with the devil to make the skin baby, and then Dong made a deal with the devil to get his daughter's skin, but in order to do that, he had to kill three other girls.
Yeah, fuck this movie. You're upset now.
I am upset. I was upset. That's what I'm saying. Like, yes, very nice shots. Very good. Very good. Next.
The deal with the devil.
Very good. I like Host better than this movie.
The other thing too, I was like, wait, y'all let a skinless baby grow up? The fuck?
Okay, there we go. Wait a minute. If you put some skin. Wait, did they actually put skin on another kid?
No, so
that was one of the kids that they had taken.
So they made skin puppets with the kids they killed, but that was the price that the dad had to pay
to reskin his daughter.
In his pact with the devil. It was like a blood for blood
kind of. And because it wasn't his actual daughter, things got all fucked.
Well, no, so then the witchy bitch accused him of witchcraft, and then her son murdered
Dong. So one of these kids that didn't have skin ended up having skin put on them.
Well, by magic.
None of them did. By magic. The original. By magic. Yeah.
Okay, but see, there was a way to do this. Like, I'm reminded of, just because of this skinless shit and all this, and black magic, or at least the devil, Hellraiser, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this fucking story, there's something in here you could do. I mean, you've got a lot going on here for horror. Fucking baby, and the thematic stuff is there.
Fucking babies.
Fucking babies. The fucking no, Epstein shit.
We should have Carlos on this episode.
No, but the thematic stuff of, like, you know, the mother hates the idea of her son with anybody, and the stuff with the children, and what am I trying to say?
Did you get high too, dude?
Just roll the story back a couple twists. Like, you don't have to. I don't have to have a third,
yeah, dude,
and fourth twist. Like, it's okay that the mother-in-law hates the daughter. Like, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, why did they keep Shyamalaning this fucking thing?
There's too much stuff. There's skinless people, there's witches, there's ghost kids, there's a serial murderer, there's, you know,
there's all thematic kinds of stuff about, like, you know, fear of people's, like, fucking
fear of the puppets, bitch.
Yeah, fear of the puppets. Like, the puppets, master of puppets. The puppets were tight. They look good.
Yeah. See, I wanted it to be more cosmic. If we're going to talk about, like, you know, what this movie needs, is it needed more lore.
Yeah, less twists, more lore, more world building, like Hellraiser. Like, yes, make it like.
Yeah, because there was very little world building. I get what
you're saying, yeah, because, like, they had, like, they had the makings of having, like, a world building thing with these puppets and shit.
And if you're going to tell me a story, go, you know, you could tell it via a puppet show. Like, it's a built-in mechanic that you could use to much better effect.
Fuck yeah. And tell me it once, not four times, with different revelations each time,
You know, yeah.
Oh, we gotta go deeper, dude.
And it wasn't deeper. It was it deflated like the other stuff. Like it was like, okay, you're good. Nope, gonna do it again.
Yeah, it does take some of the gas out of the spooks, also, so to speak.
Hugely detrimental as it goes on, because I'm already not on board with her motivation about going to the village, and I'm already kind of incredulous about going to the village with just another friend, right? But as the movie proceeds, I don't care about the protagonist more and more as it proceeds. Like I'm really not, like, it's not that I'm not on her side. It's not that I want her to die. She just becomes
less consequential.
Yeah, I'm just like, I'm not really affected by what happens to you at this point. Yeah. That shouldn't be the case. You know what I mean? I should like the protagonist a little more. Or there's no reason not to. But I just didn't really care one. They don't spend much time on her motivations. Well,
what's wild is they spend an inordinate amount of time looking for her friend, and it's like, move along, man.
It's like, is this Midsummer in fucking Indonesia?
Move along. Like,
actually, it kind of is. They have a lot of very similar themes.
It did at those points. That's why I was actually getting more disappointed, because
people having to be sacrificed in order to save like the good of the village, right. And you know.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. That's thematic stuff, and that happens in society at large. Like when they had to sacrifice Kobe Bryant, you know, and what?
You know,
and then the ghosts are like,
my brain instantly went to like his sex scandal in Colorado. I forgot that he crashed in a fucking plane this year. It feels like 4 years ago that he fucking died.
Well, yeah, they had to sacrifice 150,000 people in this country too for other shit. But you know, what?
Which country? This country?
Yeah.
Did you guys see the end of Cabin in the Woods, dude, where they explain like why the people gotta die, dude? Because that's true shit, bro. Yeah. You do Cabin in the Woods, dude. Yeah. Documentary.
Yeah, did you guys ever do Cabin in the Woods?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think we did.
I think we did. Oh, we watched it. We watched it.
We did it for Frights.
Frights and Pines. That's right.
Never did an episode.
Oh, Frights and Pines.
Yeah. God, who'd have thought I'd miss that?
That was pretty funny. Yeah, I don't know, man. I think this movie, hoists on its own petard.
You know, you were talking about like her motivations changing. Yeah, her motivations at first were money and, you know, financial stability. Then it was her friend, and then it was being altruistic and giving those girls what they need.
Right. They really try to like make her very altruistic at the end.
Yeah.
And it's like,
do you want to be rich? Do you want to be a good friend? Do you want to be a good person? Or do you want to fucking survive? Because as soon as she finishes her task, she just like fucking bolts out of there. Which,
by the way, that was a cool, I like that
scene. I kind of did love that. Like, it's like, okay, everything's good. I'm going to get the fuck out of here.
I like the music they had with her running.
Yep.
But then it looks good, because again, the visual style of the director, which same guy who did Satan's Slaves, which you guys,
I liked it.
I've never seen it.
It's good.
But I've always heard good things. But when she gets in the back of that truck, see, then it botches little things too. Like, she gets in a truck, she waves a car down.
Yeah.
Okay. He just stops, and then she just like hops in.
The amount of cars actually bothered me, because they had no
interaction. She just gets in and tells him to go, and it just holds. Well, it's like, what are you talking about?
It's this remote ass village, and she runs into three cars.
Yeah, at least. Well, and they had to take that weird little motor scooter there, and then when the cop is coming later, he's like, "Yeah, we're on a motorcycle, so it'll go faster." As if like the only other way to get there is on foot, and you just see cars cruising in and out of there nonstop. It's like, that would have been a much fucking smarter idea to just rent a car, because then you can get the fuck out whenever you want.
Well, yeah, but this is the kind of person who just goes with her friend and they'll be fine.
Do you know what?
That's what I mean, man.
Like, you know what my favorite scene of the movie was? And it was because it was unintentionally fucking hilarious.
The kid in the car?
No. When she's hanging the skin up on the clothesline and her tits just flop over.
Yeah.
Because like, I knew it. I was like, oh, she's hanging up her skin. That's kind of cool. And then you just see her boobs flop. And I'm like, oh, that's great.
Speaking of funny, that moment where the truck is driving away, and the little fucking skinless baby or skinless child or skin help, and then rips his skin off. Hilarious.
That was fun. That's what I mean. This movie's
that
like
felt like a fucking Bugs Bunny cartoon right there. Because like, she gets in the truck, and then within 10 seconds it happens, and you were just
kind of waiting for it to just like veer all over the road.
Speaking of which, you'd be better off watching the new Bugs Bunny cartoons on HBO Max than this fucking movie on Shudder.
I don't know.
I don't hate it.
They should be sponsoring us with how much you talk about
it. I fucking like it, dude. I'm all for that. Some levity right now. That shit. That's why it's unfortunate. It's an unfortunate film because it's got some stuff going for it.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would recommend a watch on this one.
Yeah, I would if it wasn't so fucking dark.
And lengthwise, it's
unbearably dark.
20 minutes too long.
Yeah.
Cut down on the exposition, cut down on the fucking the info dump, and just tighten the story up a little bit, and you've got something here.
Another thing about it botching the little things, it stuck with me, and I want to, maybe I'm just being too nitpicky, but I don't think so. They do a lot of the thing in this movie where someone gets hit in the back of the head with shit.
Just binked.
They get binked in the head. And they literally feel like just binks. Like, yep. The impact isn't right. Like, it's not edited right. The sound isn't right. They're like,
it's like a spring noise. Boing!
I mean, it's nitpicky, but it's a valid point.
Well, it's a horror film. Like,
you want it to have some weight to it.
I need impact when some people get knocked in the fucking skull.
Yeah, like Texas Chainsaw, where they just crumple to the floor.
That's what I mean. That's all. That's filmmaking.
Yeah, make it dynamic. Somebody takes one knee first and then goes down to the other knee and slowly lays down. Like, I'm not going to buy it. But when you just, fall apart.
I think they literally did it at least three, maybe four times. And by when it got to the last one, though, near the end of the film, I'm like, no, they're not going to do it. And he's like, he comes up with a fucking piece of wood and knocks her in the head, book, and she's knocked out. I'm like, I don't even think you'd be knocked out from that.
No, you'd be mildly annoyed. You'd be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, you need to whack that motherfucker in the head.
Yeah, this is going to unfortunately be a skip for most people, I think. It's got some things, but unless you're hardcore into Indonesian.
It's subtitled, films, which is a big strike for most people. And then
wow.
I mean, it is. Subtitles are a big no, like red flag for people. They're like, I don't want to read. Some people.
I don't want to read.
It's real dark and it's long. So, yeah, that's kind of three strikes.
All right. Well, what are we watching next week?
Don't know.
But we did a couple new things. There's still new stuff out. The rental is out. There's Relic. There's Yummy.
He's been wanting Yummy for
mentioning what's in the...
Maybe we should just do an Instagram poll and just let somebody else decide.
That's good. Let's do that.
Want to try something different?
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'll do your fucking Cannibal Holocaust biznatch.
Yeah. I'm sleepy. It's time to go to bed.
Okay, bye-bye.
Good night, morons.
Good night.
Bye.
Are we good? Are we good? Are we good? Are we good? Are we good?
In a few minutes, bitch.
In a few minutes, bitch.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be all right, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, never get out of this world alive.